It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Less heavy is the head that wears the crown after a haircut. How you doing, Will?
So, it was my birthday.
And do we not have to talk about this again for another 51 weeks?
This is it. This is the last time you'll hear about it until my next birthday. Good times were had by all. I had the traditional Sardo's karaoke birthday party.
Okay. It was good times and happy days.
You were there.
I was there.
What's the report from the ground? Because I don't remember.
You like drinking Jack Daniels?
Yes.
And you sing a mean Madonna's Like a Prayer.
That's true.
Yeah. For people that had never been there before, never experienced how you summon basically the entire bar to the stage on the second verse, they were shocked to just see everyone rush the stage at the same time.
A sea of people.
Yeah, Tara Price especially was a little surprised when that happened.
Tara Price, who seemed to have a good time as well. Former podcast guest.
Yes, and performing in Time Machine the Musical at the Hollywood Fringe Festival this week.
One dark spot on my birthday.
That's just racist.
Is that Kim Kardashian had her baby the same day of my birthday, so until the end of time, I will have to share a birthday with this Kardashian spawn.
You mean Capital One Kardashian?
It's going to be Kimye.
Kimye?
Kimye, that's what I'm banking
on.
I
honestly would not be shocked if they just named the damn kid Kanye.
They might.
Yeah.
What's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Still trying to get those likes up. We're almost at 209, but I'm, like I said, moving the goalposts, 214. And getting close to our 75th episode, so we're got to plan that out.
Yeah.
We're thinking about it.
Yeah, it might not be as good as our 50th. We might be putting too much into the idea of the 100th episode that, you know, but
the 100th episode is just the murder-suicide pact.
Exactly. Yeah. We kill ourselves live on the podcast.
But, you know, just continue iTunes. Like us on iTunes. Write a little note, and that's how new people will find the podcast, too. If we have ratings, it'll put it up on in the store, so, you know. Spread the love.
And if I could say, if you don't like us on Facebook, you're just an asshole.
Right. We're not even bothering you about Twitter. That's a whole separate harangue.
Yeah, we're going to wait till we get a lot of fade before we start bugging about Twitter. I also want to throw in a shout-out in the housekeeping. Tanya Yang, former guest of the podcast, she's got a Indiegogo thing for her new film that she is directing, Staging Grief. We got a link on our Facebook page.
Is it a comedy?
It's a darkly funny, whimsical journey. I looked at the thing. I know what it is. It's fucking good. And actually, no, her web series that she did last year was very good. So this is going to be good. So you know what? I know you don't have any money, but you don't need to eat tonight. Go give her money. And, who's our sponsor this week?
This week's episode is brought to you by Jacaranda Brand Car Wax, for when you want your car to be dotted with sticky purple globs that look pretty but smell like shit.
I use that on my car weekly.
Weekly, yeah, I fucking hate it. They're Jacaranda trees. It's like a poisonous butterfly.
Well, today on the show, Superman. Did it soar or did it come crashing
to
the ground?
No, you did that last week.
did I say this? I probably did say the same thing last week. The next president of the United States recently joined Twitter. And a very personal for me enemy this week that's affected me deeply in my schedule and my drinking schedule. So we're going to get to that. But first, we are very excited all the way from Australia specifically to do this podcast. Stephen Brandon.
Hey, guys. Clearly, I just flew in 14 hours just to talk to you boys.
And you're getting on a flight the second this is over.
The minute I hear, right back to the airport, Qantas all the way.
Yeah, we're doing this in the car outside of LAX Terminal 4. Stephen, welcome, and you brought us some Australian candy.
I did. I think you guys have a nice racket going on here. Listening to previous podcasts, your guests bring you things. So,
what do we have here?
I brought you a crunchy bar.
I'm going to take a bite of this one.
It's Cadbury. It's great. It's a honeycomb. You don't get much honeycomb in America. Yeah, if you're out there, the Violet Crumble is better, but it's harder to ship in. Maltesers, which is the much better and tastier version of the Whopper, not the Burger King variety, the candy.
The malted balls.
Malt balls.
Let me tell you what, this crunchy is really good. It's also true to its name, so I am not going to eat it.
But if you
I
want something more soft, I also brought you a Curly Whirly, which is a Cadbury, you know,
all of
caramel.
These things can also
not
be...
Not caramel, it's caramel, where I come from. Caramel chocolate bar.
All of these could all be misconstrued as sex acts, too. Curly Whirly,
I once gave a girl a Curly Whirly, and she gave me a crunchy in the bathroom at Sardo's on my birthday.
And then you ended up with a Maltese? What is it called?
Well, she was Maltesing you.
She was Maltesing you, yes.
I am going to gorge on this stuff the second we're done.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Exactly.
And, well, but beyond just being a Willy Wonka from Down Under, you are a writer and comedian and purveyor of funniness all around.
Yes, that is on my business card.
Excellent.
It's rather long.
And you do, I joke, oh, I jest, that you came here just for the podcast, but you've moved here from Australia. You live in Los Angeles now.
Yes.
When did you move here?
I moved here February 2008.
Oh, that's quite some time now.
About 5.5 years, and I grew up loving sitcoms, you know. I'll age myself and say, you know, Murphy Brown, Roseanne, Seinfeld, Cheers, Growing Pains, Perfect Strangers. This was my This was my weekly diet.
Perfect Strangers was always one of my favorites.
Oh, the best show in town. Don't be ridiculous.
Cousin Larry Appleton.
And, you know, in Australia, we don't really have sitcoms. We had one show that went from 1987 to 1994 called Hey Dad. 291 episodes. But the entire original cast, including the dad, was not there at the very end of the show. It went for 14 years, and by the end it was, hey, adopted father, all the kids were different.
Did it remain like quality television
up
until the end?
Well, for what Australia was, I mean, we don't have the population to sustain large amounts of situation.
It was a whole television show of Cousin Olivers.
Basically, pretty much.
I mean, to be fair, nothing against your great nation, but when I was young, I thought, like, well... Australian comedy begins and ends with Yahoo Serious.
Well, we're doing a Paul Hogan.
And put, yes, this is, you know, crikey, mate. That's kind of what we know.
Throwing
here.
Throwing the shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, there's real Australia and there's what Americans think Australia is. And what Americans think Australia is an Outback Steakhouse. That is not a real Australia. That's what you think it is.
And it's Foster's.
I never heard of a Bloomin' Onion until I got here.
So are you telling me in Australia there isn't no rules and it's not just right?
No, not at all. But, and one thing I will say is I grew up watching so much American television and impersonating Americans that I've taken on a bit of an American accent, but that's not actually real. Like, we have what that's called the intrusive R. I probably said it already. I probably said Australia. I'll put R's on the end of words that don't have them, like banana or pizza. You know.
So basically, you sound like someone from the Bronx.
Well, yeah, people think I'm South African. I say, I can't believe it, mate. I'm not South African. Most people think I'm English. You know, New Zealand, I get a lot.
Well, because Americans just do any accent that's not ours, we figure it's just British.
Well, yeah, but also.
Any Russian,
Indian,
Turkish,
Armenians.
But I have a very sophisticated Australian accent. I'm not a. All right, on your cobber, true blue, fair dinkum, she's the one, you beaut. I speak the Queen's English.
the Queen's prisoner's English.
Yes, you know, I am descendant from convicts, of course.
Now, I got to ask you this, because I, again, from a young age, I was always fascinated with Australia. My biggest regret in life is that I haven't visited. We have a friend, Zach Fox, who's visiting right now as we speak.
And he's a day ahead.
Exactly.
Call him and ask him for the lotto numbers.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, because there is this fascination with your country, maybe because it's so far away, maybe because you got a lot of marsupials, I don't know. But do you get sick of assholes like us asking you about it?
No, I don't take offense to any of that kind of stuff. It's fine. I mean, it's gorgeous. I go home to Sydney, and it looks beautiful, and the beaches are there, and it's wonderful. Oh, but it's so expensive now. It's the number one most expensive city in the world now.
Does Zach Fox know this?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's just... And L.A., the cost of living is so much cheaper, but I hate these strip malls, and it's so ugly. But this is where the business is. Yeah. And I try to, you know... You know, we didn't get cable television until 1996. Before that, it was three channels and a couple of, you know, government channels.
Bali state television.
You know, yeah, government channels. And, you know, we only have 2 hours of prime time, 7:30 to like 9:30 when I grew up. And
well, you have to wake up early to walk about.
Well, of course. I'm just thinking of Locke from Lost now going on a walkabout. Don't tell me what I can't do. And, you know... We do very good reality television shows and lifestyle, a lot of gardening shows. We're good at game shows and dramas that run, you know, 50 episodes a year.
Wow.
But in terms of comedy, we just had Australians. excuse me, we just had American comedies. And so that's why I moved here, because I wanted to work in multicam sitcoms, and the only place to do it was L.A.
Now, is the comedy, is this stuff growing, though, in Australia? Is it developing? There was a show that I really liked that was on HBO.
It's Summer High Tide. That's what I want to talk about.
I thought was hysterical.
Oh, Chris Lilley is a great guy. I actually went to Macquarie University with him. And he's, like, the one in a blue moon that he... And they follow the English model. 8 episodes a year, and that's it. 8 episodes the entire season.
And maybe a Christmas episode, if you're lucky.
Maybe. I mean, he did We Can Be Heroes, then he did Summer Heights High, and then he did Angry Boys. And that's like 30 episodes. That's an entire regular season of another show.
Yeah.
And besides that, there was Kath and Kim before that, which America tried to do and didn't do it very well. And besides that, we do sketch comedy. A lot of our characters come from sketch comedy shows. Eric Bana will deny this now, but he was on a show called Full Frontal for like 8 to 10 years.
The Soderbergh movie?
Well, Full Frontal was actually a spin-off from Fast Forward, which was a different, sketch comedy show. But all these shows developed characters. Kath and Kim came from a show called Big Girls Blouse, and Chris Lilley was on a comedy show called Big Bite before. And some of his characters were on that show, and then they moved on to Summer Heights High.
Everything's bigger in Australia. You saw Croc that with the knife.
It's like the Texas of countries.
Well, it's almost the same size.
A lot of weirdos, big empty spaces.
It's almost the same size as America, but we have a population of 22 million, you know, which is not even the size of California, the population of California. Mm. But it's all desert. And we just live on the ends, just live on the east and the west.
Canadians just live on the borders. And what's in the middle? I don't know. Don't go in there. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Everything will kill you.
Crocodiles and big rocks.
And boxing kangaroos.
Things like, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you come out here and you want to work in American television. Now, does your sensibilities help or hinder when you come out here?
I think my sensibilities have been formed by American television because that's what I grew up on, so I think I fit in quite well. One thing, I think humor is universal.
Mm-hmm.
One little pet peeve, my personal enemy of the podcast guest, is that Americans think saying no is funny. You know, I'll go into a store and I'll say, do you have any popcorn? And they'll go, no. I'll be like, oh, just kidding. I'm like, that's not humor to me. People think just kidding is a joke. And I've noticed that. I'm like, humor should make me laugh, not make me feel sad and panicky a little bit, then make me go, oh, phew. I'm not laughing. I've noticed Americans do that
quite
a lot.
Well, you know what it's from. That's how we keep check with our expectations of abundance, you know?
Well, yeah, there's so much of the great American portion. You can't leave the Cheesecake Factory without a doggy bag. You know, Americans do everything in length and girth, and, you know.
It's true. I know, yeah. I do everything in length and girth.
Set you up there.
Yeah. So I guess the people will want to know, like, you've been here, how's it going? Like, what have you been...
Well, it's a roller coaster ride, Los Angeles. You know, I started off as a PA at Warner Brothers for about a year in production. I worked on a pilot, didn't go, worked in production, worked on a series... Kelsey Grammer show called Hank.
I remember that.
You remember that? There was 4 new shows: Hank, The Middle, Modern Family, and Cougar Town. 3 of them still live on.
Yeah.
1 died after 10 episodes.
For God's sake, Hank.
Actually, we shot 10, they aired 5, then we were cut. I think we knew the writing was on the wall when the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving beat us in the ratings.
They never underestimate the power of Charlie Brown.
And then that's Kelsey Grammer wrapped a Porsche around a tree just for good measure.
Something like that. One of his many, many, many. But I made a lot of good connections there, and after that, I had a manager. And I was actually lucky enough, my partner at the time, we sold a pilot to ABC Family, which was great. But we learned a really good lesson in Hollywood. They said to us, we want you to skew young with this pilot. This is ABC Family. We reached 16-year-old girls.
Yeah.
My show was about a mother and daughter, and we were concentrating on the 16-year-old girl. And then as we were writing it, they debuted Pretty Little Liars. And suddenly it's sex and intrigue, and suddenly the demographic goes way up.
Got shows about, like, teenagers banging on
deaf teenagers banging, you know. And so now it's 22-year-olds. So at the end of the day, they said to us, this was a great show, but it skews too young.
I once took a meeting at ABC Family to pitch, of all things, a zombie television show.
Yeah.
And halfway through the meeting, I was horrified to realize that the woman I was pitching it to, who had asked me to come in, thought that zombies were mummies.
Ooh, she's like, where?
I thought it was a show about mummies and
daughters.
Why is
no one eating each other or having entrails?
She was confused. She's like, they're the ones that are all wrapped up. And my like face dropped, and this woman who had kind of, who worked for Mosaic Media, who brought us in there, was like, saw that I didn't, like, my head just exploded. So she jumped in and was like, those are mummies. Those are mummies. And the woman's like,
They'll come back in fashion.
Let's do a shout out to the D-girl.
Yeah. But in the meantime, you're doing a lot of... You have a website.
You have to create your own content, you know? So web series are the way to go, and I've developed a few over the years. I did one based on the life of my writing partner and roommate at the time called Miles and Ben. You can find us at milesandben.com. And then I did one called Nerd Patrol, which was just some sketch comedy with a bunch of fellow nerds. Yeah, three of us went up to Burbank Mall and just started to play Marry, Screw, Kill with women that we just randomly met. Out of the three nerds who were standing in front of you, who would you marry, who would you screw, and who would you kill? And you
what did you end up as most of the time?
I was half kill, half screw. No one wanted to marry me. I'm great material for marriage.
They were fascinated by you because you're a foreigner, but they didn't want to marry you because you're a dirty foreigner.
But I got the green card.
But they wanted to kill you because they wanted to see what color your blood was.
Whoever approached the ladies and said, excuse me, do you mind if we do an interview with you? That was the person they killed. For some reason, is the
person,
you
the
know,
person that, who bothered them.
The person, yeah, they killed. The one who didn't say much usually got
this
married.
This guy's going to be annoying. Yeah. And he's needy. He's coming up to me. Let's kill him.
And he's wearing a bow tie. So basically, you come all the way from Australia to leave a world of sketch comedy to come to L.A. to be doing sketch comedy.
Well, but the everything like, comes full circle, and there's so much more opportunity. I mean, after that pilot didn't sell, I got an agent, and I spent a year pitching and going from studio to network, meeting with production companies, and really learned how to pitch a show properly. And then the year later, I did get staffed on a TV series as well. So I've been in the room. It was a great experience.
I went to your site, thecannedlaughter.
.org. Why .org?
Because .com was taken.
Ah.
And that has a lot of funny skits, too. I was watching a bunch of your What If skits.
Yes.
Tell us about those.
Another friend of mine, Ashwin Gore, and I created What If, which was just some comedy sketches. Basically, what if the iPhone was president?
What if
Batman was broke? What if children were interrogators?
I just watched What If Noses Were Considered Private Parts.
Yes, this was a popular one. We just decided, hey, imagine a nose was also a private part. So we had a scene at a beach where all the girls are in bikinis, but they also have bikinis on their noses. And, you know, what it's like to get to second or third base with a nose, per se. So you can check that out on cannedlaughter.org.
Very funny stuff.
This is a little weird. Yeah. So if you get to, let's say, third base with a nose,
yes.
Do you tell someone to smell your finger? Or how does that work? Because then...
Well, it's
counterintuitive.
It's up to the imagination to think about that. The moral of the video is you don't want to blow your nose or load too early.
This is good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. Another thing I saw on there is something TV Talk Tonight with Stephen Brandon.
Yes, my own talk show, because who doesn't want to have their own talk show?
We certainly don't.
This was my attempt of doing the Tonight Show Meets the Soup, where I would basically, like you guys, talk about what was in pop culture that week, specifically looking at what was on television, and I had graphs done up about who's going to win Emmys and what shows are going to cancel to come back again. And each week I also had celebrity guests. And by celebrities, I mean the people I know who have some sort of acclaim. My good friend Rob Sestanino, who was on Survivor, was in my premiere episode. And a very talented singer friend of mine, Ariana Savalas, Telly Savalas' daughter.
Oh!
Is she also bald?
only where it counts. Sorry, Ariana, I do love you.
I'm sure you're very lovely, actually.
She's
that
great.
Was a joke
she's
in
fantastic.
Digest.
But yeah, I did that talk show for quite a while.
Can I say something about Telly Savalas?
Yes.
I'm from Long Island.
Yes.
A lot of Greek diners. Every diner would have an autographed photo of Telly Savalas in it. Everyone growing up. So I'd see Telly's face everywhere.
Well, I'm sure he did a tour.
He did a diner tour of Long Island.
You know what you need? You need a podcast.
Well, I was thinking about taking TV Talk Tonight into podcast mode, so we'll talk about how that happens later.
Talk about how that happens if you ever need guests to come on.
We know people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We know 70.
I'll go through your roster, 70 guests.
She's Barb Heller, Debbie June.
Yes.
Let's go down the line of people. I don't know, maybe we shouldn't push this idea on you. We don't like competition.
Well, we'll see what the future brings.
Well, until he gets to 209 likes, he's nothing.
Yeah, I'll go to 210. 210, baby, that's the number.
Well, we must destroy his podcast.
Yes, I am a big supporter of your podcast until more people listen to it than ours. Then you're going down.
Then you're a fucking racist, and we're going to just be blasting your way.
Boys, this is not a podcast. This is a podcast.
All right, episode title.
Tick, Crocodile Dundee reference, check.
Yeah.
All right, that was...
I was going to make a Steve Irwin joke, but, you know, too soon.
Too soon. That would be... very stinging. It sting me.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
was...
They're not all winners, folks. They're not all winners.
I'm talking to you about, like, the comedy you're doing, and now all I want to do is ask more questions about Australia. Like, you mentioned Steve wrote, like, was that a big deal? Was that, like, a really big deal?
He was. He was an ambassador. He was a hero. And, you know, he lived in the dangerous world, and you'd think a croc would take him at the end, then he gets stung by a stingray. So it was most unfortunate.
Well, the kid's got the word stingray in the fucking title.
I know. And he was doing good. But, you know, here's a funny a little tidbit. My drama teacher at the Australian Theatre for Young People for two semesters, Cate Blanchett.
Really?
Before she was Cate Blanchett.
Well, she was always Cate Blanchett, but she wasn't.
I live in England and fancy. Now she's back in Australia.
I fucking love Cate Blanchett. When I saw her in Elizabeth, it just blew my brain
That's,
open.
I guess, where she came on all of our radars.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did a couple of films before that, but that was the one that brought her, and she, you know, Oscar nominated.
Yeah, and the janitor was Russell Crowe.
Uh-huh. He went to my high school.
Did
not the same time as I did, but he was at the same time with me. So I'm just what I'm trying to say is talent comes from Australia.
Honestly,
and it's about time the world notices myself.
Yeah, if
and
you
others.
Look over the last decade, people who've won Oscars and so a lot of Australians in the mix.
Yeah, even when they try to hide it, like Nicole Kidman.
Well, it's like Nicole Kidman, and you know she's Australian, but like Russell Crowe's actually born in New Zealand. But when he's winning Academy Awards, we'll claim him. When he's throwing phones, we'll say he's New Zealand.
How pissed off is Australia that New Zealand got all this Lord of the Rings attention? You'd be like, come on, did you need a desert or something in Lord of the Rings?
If you're going to go to New Zealand to visit, you might as well hop over to Australia. We're so close anyway. Do it all at once. It's all good.
You hate those fucking Kiwis, don't you?
Those sheep-screwing bastards.
So, now, all this great comedy that you got online, where can people go and see this stuff?
Well, like I said, if it's time for plugging, www.cannedlaughter.org is where you can have access to all these videos. And actually, if you want to read something that I've written... one of my scripts is actually a finalist in a competition at the moment on www.storyboardtv.com.
Ah.
So there's 10 lists. There's the show's called The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. I wrote it with my writing partner, Beverly. And it's a really fun script. You know, a lot of me and her are in that script.
Is Ozzie literally a pun?
Yeah, it's Ozzie.
Okay.
A lovable loser from Australia finds that his girlfriend's dumped him and the girlfriend's gay sister comes to town. And the lovable loser learns that having a lesbian wingwoman might just be what he needs to put his life back on track.
Maybe that's what I need to put my life back on track.
How many lesbian friends do you have?
One.
One. One's enough. Because I'll tell you about
lesbian... And she's got the same taste in women as me.
Well, so there's a bit... That's episode 7, the competition down the line. But girls who like girls, they know how to get girls and what to do with them once they get them.
It's funny.
So they can help you.
I went traveling years ago in college. My friend Colin, my friend Yana, and at the time, Yana was just coming out of the closet as a lesbian, so she didn't have any of the instinctive tools that men have when it comes to checking out women in public, so how to surreptitiously check a woman out, how to let another guy know that there's someone to look at. She was so awkward and bad at it, so myself and Colin would be noticing all these Italian women, and then it would take her about 12 seconds to pick up that something was going on, and then she would be the most obvious person in the world turning around, craning her neck, trying to see the person. So we spent the whole winter in Italy. I mean, not every waking moment. We went to go see, you know, David and the Vatican. But trying to coach her on how to check out women in public without being so, you know, blatant
overt about
it.
About, yeah.
Yeah.
The subtleties.
This lesbian that I know,
that's a good
her
idea.
Basic move is she'll watch the girl get really drunk and then follow her into the bathroom and touch her and see if that goes
well. That's your basic move.
That
sounded a lot like my basic move as well.
I know.
To a certain point.
Yeah. So that is my basic move.
But you do an extra move. You unzip and go. Ever seen any Australian candy?
Sure. Check out my curly whirly.
Okay. So.
Well, if you're a good listener of the podcast, you've already seen all these funny, funny videos because they're up on our Facebook page, or the links to them are up on this Facebook page. So
canlaughter.org. What was the other one? Storyboard, you also mentioned.
Storyboardtv.com. And I guess my Twitter account is at StephenB2929. Stephen with a V.
Okay.
There you go.
You're
not getting hilarious tweets from me all the time. Just, you know, fun
tweeted
facts.
Tweeted Australian parliamentary procedures.
Yes, my latest tweet was, suck it, Dad. Australian Father's Day is not till September. So
really? You guys have different Father's Days?
Yeah, we have the same Mother's Day, but we spread it out throughout the year, so you don't have to worry about Dad till September.
Huh.
There you go. See, I like that better.
Why is there okay, you know what? Real quick sidebar here. Why are there no Children's Day?
Because every day is Children's Day.
Fuck that. I want a day. And they're like, you get a birthday. I'm like, well, my mom and dad have a birthday. They still get a day.
Are you a child?
I'm someone's child. We're all someone's child.
Yeah, no, that's true. You have to have children to get your special day. to be a Father's Day.
Oh, what the fuck? It's my birthday, July 22nd. You better be there, people.
Speaking of, there's no transition here. I don't know why I said speaking of.
That's a super day, July 22nd. Oh. It's a super day.
Speaking of things that are super,
yeah,
thank
welcome.
You, Steven. Superman.
Man of Steel.
Like, barely said his name. Super what?
I keep calling it Superman. I have a lot of problems calling it Man of Steel for some reason.
Because it sounds like a porno.
Yeah. It is a porno.
Yeah.
The question is, did it live up to the expectations? I had very high hopes for this film. And I am here to tell you, in my opinion, it didn't. I thought there was some... And here's what's so frustrating about the movie. There's some really great stuff. I thought the Smallville stuff was good. I liked the relationship with the fathers. I liked the theme of he's got to decide whether he can trust the people of America and the world and stuff with the secret that he's an alien. I liked even that Lois had to do a little investigating. All this stuff is great. Here's what's bad. The last hour of this movie is just relentless, confusing action. It beats you over the head with it. It drove me insane. Steven, did you see the movie?
I did. People are saying that last hour, it's like superhero Pong. It's just bash, bash, bash from building to building. And oh my god, Jenny from the Daily Planet, who I don't care about, is trapped under a log. And Lawrence Fishburne is still holding his jacket, but like, come on, we're going to save you. Who cares?
I didn't know who that... I mean, I knew who that girl was, but I didn't know who the... I didn't even remember her name until they shouted.
Here's the deal. Superman can kill anyone in any building and car as long as he doesn't witness it. But if you're going to put a heat ray onto someone he can actually see, well, I'm going to snap your neck.
Spoiler alert also. He does, he saves Lois Lane, but 5 million people die in the process.
I saw an article today where they tried to quantify the death, the casualties and the damage caused by Superman and Zod in the final fight. And I think they estimated that there would be, what was it, 52,000 fatalities, 250,000 injured, and then 1 million suffering from long-term effects from debris and rubble and all of that. And they also estimated the damage done to be about $1.2 trillion in economic damage.
I think they're lowballing all of that.
And there's 1 million people suffering from bad effects from just watching that movie.
Yeah.
Well, because here's the thing, and that's what kills me. I think there's a lot of potential to it. After the movie, I that was my first complaint. I'm like, I was with it, and then it just beat the hell out of me.
I was like with Batman Begins, same way. I was with it to the last act.
I appreciate the new twist of the origin of how they fixed up Metropolis. I mean, it's the same 20 minutes in Krypton, except Russell Crowe jumps on Falcor and then dives into a sperm pit.
Little known fact, he's born in New Zealand, but he passes himself off as Australian.
Ooh, I didn't know. But then, like you said, it was just wham, bam, beat him up, nothing else happened. The best part of the movie, I thought, was the last minute, setting up the next one. Like,
I actually have high hopes for the next one, because I've noticed that the second ones have been... The Spider-Man 2 is better than Spider-Man.
Dark Knight.
X2 better than X-Men. Dark Knight being the biggest example.
Because, in these first movies, they have to spend so much time going through the origin story, and yet also setting up a villain, and a lot of it just gets shoehorned, and then they have to have the big climax. So all that business gets taken care of in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whereas in the second ones, they can spend the whole movie just focused on the villain and hero relationship.
Yes.
And when you keep listening, we were talking about this before the podcast, the 2-hour Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman deconstruction of the film, they go into talking about later on what their ideas would be for the second one and how Lex Luthor can now be brought into the story based on the events of Man of Steel. And they get very excited about the possibilities of what a Lex Luthor, like a real true Lex Luthor Superman relationship can be.
Lex Corp could rebuild Metropolis.
That's what they're saying also. And the idea that, you got to play off the immigrant fears that this fucking alien, this guy, this foreigner came in and he fucked everything up. And there's an entry point there that they can really...
I see, that could be good.
Yeah.
That could be good.
But I've seen Lex Luthor in the movies of Superman. Where's a Brainiac? Where's a Bizarro? Where's a Mr. Mixel Pitlick?
The problem is it's the same thing. Let's broaden these
villains. Yeah, I want to...
I
want a studio to base a 2.5-hour Superman tentpole film off Mr.
Whatever is it? And we get Gilbert Gottfried to play him. He did his voice in the animated series. He doesn't have to be the main villain. He's there for half an hour to add some comedy.
Well, we'll see what they do. I'm going to see the movie this week. I'm going to try and get to it. So
yeah, still see it, because you're going to have to, because you live in the world.
But if you go in with low expectations, they'll be met. You won't be disappointed.
Excellent.
That's right. You know, speaking of things you wait for and anticipate and expect, the other day you tweeted something that I thought was a joke. You tweeted, I'm finally binge-watching Cheers, and I thought you were making a joke about how, like, I just recently binge-watched Orphan Black, everybody binge-watched...
Arrested Development
recently. Like, people, this has been a big thing, like, people binge-watching, and I thought you were making a joke because, you know... I watched Cheers when I was young in the 80s and the early 90s. You mentioned it as well.
Yes.
But this was serious.
Yeah, I'd never seen it. I was aware of Cheers. I had caught bits of it. Knew Ted Danson was on it and John Ratzenberger. But I'd never watched an episode. I was like, I should watch Cheers.
What did you start at the beginning?
Right at the beginning. One of the best pilots I've ever seen.
Oh, Give Me a Ring sometime. Great show.
That show comes right out of the gate, completely fully formed, knows what it is. Confidence, and what shocks me about the show is, I think part of this is because the episode run times are a little bit longer. The show's not afraid to go several minutes without a joke, and inject levity into the episodes. It's fantastic writing, and it's really like it's like watching a funny play. Every episode really is staged and conceived of as, and that's kind of what Barry Wernick said when they did Rules of Engagement, that every week you're putting on a live play.
That's the appeal to multicam over single cam.
Right.
And you know, Cheers was the lowest rated sitcom in its first season.
Right. And
it's kind of a miracle it was able to.
Well, thanks to summer reruns, people actually started tuning in.
They also won
the Emmy.
Yeah.
The first season.
Well, Arrested Development had low ratings and won the Emmy, and look what that did for
it. Well, it lasted three seasons.
You know what? I think Netflix should revive Cheers. Bring the cast back into a full season of Cheers.
I'd watch all of those guys.
But it's a really good show, and all these characters are fully formed, and you really just. You feel for them.
Yes, we are breaking down Cheers, the sitcom, hysterical sitcom.
They debuted the year I was born.
But you know what? It's a great show. And you were mentioning other things. You know, you said you've never seen an episode of MASH.
Nope,
never seen an episode of Taxi. Is a fucking funny. Did you ever watch Taxi?
Yes.
Nope. Fucking funny. That is a great ensemble. You got DeVito. You got Christopher Lloyd.
You got Andy Kaufman coming in.
That's a great one.
His name was Tartuffe. What the hell was his name on the show?
What? No.
Latka?
Latka.
Yeah, okay. Knew it was something
with a side of hummus.
You've never seen Mary Tyler Moore?
Never seen
one episode?
Nope.
She's going to make it after all.
I hope
she is.
And all I remember is that I saw her in some movie. I can't remember what. I was like, wow, she was hot.
Ordinary People.
That was it.
Was it really?
Yeah, I realized
she's like the demonstrative, awful, like, mother?
She's hot.
Well, that would do it. So we were thinking about things that you've been meaning to catch up on. Clearly, Sean has been waiting a very long time to catch up
on. And I've never seen an episode of American Idol.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Kelly Clarkson wins.
She wins. You know, I've only seen bits and pieces of episodes of American Idol. I used to watch 24 as a family. We used to watch it. And they would always catch the end of American Idol. Because my mom would watch American Idol. I'd come in right before 24 and watch like the last 20 minutes of it.
Because that's some good programming right there.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're following the narrative story of American Idol as you would be on 24.
It's true. They do sure like their Pepsi on that show. Or is it Coke? What are
Coke.
They
drink?
Coke.
It's Coke.
Oh, you're right. It's Coke. Pepsi's on X Factor.
That's right.
Now, are there things that you haven't caught?
You
like,
know what I've watched? I've watched the pilot of Friday Night Lights twice.
Me too.
And I haven't got to episode two.
I can't get into the show.
I'm not a sport guy, but I know it's not about sports. And I love Parenthood, his follow-up show, Jason Kadam's follow-up show. But I just can't. There's nothing compelling me to say I gotta watch 1.2 of Friday Night Lights.
I love the movie Friday Night Lights, which I think is one of the great sports movies. Yeah. Can't get into that show.
Yeah.
I've never tried watching it, and I like the movie, and everyone tells me the show's good, but now, after hearing you guys talk, fuck it, I'm never watching it.
You hear that, Andrea Marchant?
Yeah, Andrea Marchant, the voice of the podcast. She loves the show. The show can go fuck itself.
The Wire. I watched the pilot of The Wire. I didn't have a freaking clue what was going on, and I watched The Shield, which was one of the greatest shows ever, so I felt like I didn't need to watch The Wire because I watched The Shield.
You do need to watch The Wire.
I've never watched The Wire either, because it started in that time period where I didn't have HBO, and then I like never caught up on it. I never caught up on it like I did with The Sopranos. I made sure I caught up.
All right, Will's parents, for Christmas this year, get Will to complete The Wire.
That'd be great, and I would actually watch it, although I've heard some people whispering to me, it's not as good as they say.
It's as good as they say.
It may have been revolutionary.
Those people are
time.
Idiots, and you shouldn't talk to them anymore.
Whoa. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll stop talking to him. I always take a lot of shit for never seeing Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Because everyone always says it would be right up my alley. I like sci-fi. I like sci-fi.
I don't think so.
I'm sure I'd like it. You don't think I'd
like
it?
It's two good seasons, and then the show just gets weird, and I couldn't get through the third season. But the first two, it's got a good solid two seasons. It also, Sam Witwer's in it. It's Crash
Sam
Down.
Sam Witwer, who'd been on the podcast, so I should watch it for that reason.
Yeah, there you go.
I watch his current show, Being Human.
Okay.
You know, so yeah. I do that. I support him in that way.
So, I'm trying to think what else. There's big gap. Some movies I haven't seen that people are always shocked. Never seen Dazed and Confused.
If it's a like a tiny series like My So-Called Life, you
never
know,
seen
19
that.
Episodes,
it's one
you
season.
Can just catch up.
Well, that's why
Geeks,
I'm watching Freaking Geeks
on...
now. I've never seen it before. I'm about halfway through it.
Yeah, otherwise, it's like I have to play catch up on years of stuff. My father actually, what he would do on my for Christmas every year, he would buy me the first season of a television show I should be watching. Mm. But it's always something that's on the air, so it's easy for me to catch up. Like, that's how I started watching Mad Men. It was because of him. Or Fringe, which I was a big fan of.
Yeah, I mean, you got a task ahead of you with Cheers, 200-something plus
You know
episodes.
What, I think I'm going to watch the first couple of seasons, and then I'm going to do a little investigating, and I think I'm going to kind of skip.
Take season six off, Rebecca's first season, and then go back in 7-8.
See, maybe it was because I was young, but I remember liking the Kirstie Alley years.
Oh, she was great. Not so much her first year, but when she married Robin Colcord, spoiler alert, and Lilith came into it, Bebe Neuwirth, who I love, then it really picked up again.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
Okay.
That's true. It's a good
One
show.
Of my coworkers today was telling me that he was thinking of starting to watch Dexter. I'm like, what are you going to do? It's 8 seasons of TV.
Yeah, but
watch Orphan Black instead.
It's only 10 episodes per season.
Still
like,
a lot of
like
TV.
11, 13. Like, Breaking Bad, I watched it live, and then I caught up. I did it all again before this final 8. It's only 60 episodes. It's not too much.
Yeah, that's manageable. Last summer, I rewatched the entire series of The Sopranos, and you know, that was only 86 episodes, and I did it throughout the summer, and you know, wanted to get to this. Hillary Clinton joined Twitter the other day. I started following her immediately. As I've said on this podcast, I voted for her.
You're gay for Hillary?
I am. I voted for her in the primaries in 2008 against Obama. Everyone was like, you got to vote for Obama. I said, no, I'm sticking with Hillary because she's got balls, man.
And also, you always identify with a jilted woman.
I actually do. Well, maybe not a jilted woman, but I always want to put women in power. We can get to the sexual implications of this later.
You got to think for pantsuits.
But she's on Twitter now, which I think means she's running for president. And because you can't become president without having a Twitter account.
Is she actually tweeting? Or is she just
receiving? No, she's had like 3 tweets and she retweets Chelsea.
But she's been tweeting like... She's been using, like, internet lingo that I don't imagine someone in their 60s be... Like, she's like, oh, selfies, and she's, like, taking pictures of herself.
There's no way she's doing that herself. She's got a team.
Yeah.
She's consulting.
If you watch Veep, she's got her Dan, you know, telling her what to do.
Do you think something like this really... do you think it makes a difference? Do you think it makes... Like, for the young people, like, I guess us, I guess we're young.
I think it's pandering, you know, and it's like... Yeah, you're in your 60s, you're trying to be hip with the kids. Now, don't, if you want to really win over the millennials, you know, start sending out viral Snapchats or following 2 Chainz or something. Like, don't just follow the Clinton Global Initiative and your husband and wife.
She's probably
a
couple of years late to Twitter.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if she'd ever retweet or tweet back to you. If you wrote her a question, would she write, at StephenB29, yes, I agree. Because then I'd feel a personal connection with her.
You know what? I guarantee you, if she starts running for president, there'll be times where for the next hour, they'll be answering. And they'll see that, and they'll be like,
well, then there's
oh.
People like Cory Booker. People like, my power's out. He's like, come to my house. Here's the address.
Cory Booker. That guy.
A fucking superhero.
So he knows how to use Twitter to get the people. Like, he's rescuing people.
People are like, there's no power on this street. And he'll forward. I would hate to work in his staff. Because you're working in the public works division or, you know, city planner. Someone tweets that the fucking mayor's a pothole. Now you're getting fucking emails from the mayor because some asshole tweeted at him and I got to deal with this email from the mayor because this idiot.
Cory Booker, he's Superman.
He is.
Yeah, he's a Superman.
He's getting it done.
He's running for Senate.
Man of action.
He is.
Or steel.
Anthony Weiner, another politician who knew how to use Twitter.
Well, because, yeah, did he know how to use Twitter?
Where was Snapchat when...
Yeah,
honestly,
he could have used a destruction after 10 seconds.
Snapchat's going to get some of these people in trouble eventually.
I think it will.
Yeah,
but so far, it's kept me out of trouble.
Would you vote for a man who tweeted a photo of his penis?
I wouldn't vote for Anthony Weiner, whether he tweeted... I don't like career politicians. The ones, for example, he's running for mayor. It feels like he's just
against a strong lesbian woman.
Well, there you go. Once again, the pantsuit vote. Will's
behind that. I'm voting for the woman.
The Will is about pantsuit over no pants.
Yes.
I feel like he's only running for mayor not because he has a deep love of New York, because he has ideas of how to fix the city or improve the city, but because he's a career politician. It's like, well, I need to run for something, and this is available, so why not?
I want to say this about Anthony Weiner. Did he really do anything so bad?
No.
He got caught.
But, I mean, he didn't do anything illegal, and he didn't even cheat on his wife.
No, but I'm sure the intent was there. And
yeah, maybe he just got
off on... precog from Minority Report? You're arresting people now for their crimes?
Maybe he just got off on sending pictures, which is different than, you know, I mean...
Did he use any taxpayer money?
Not that I know of, no.
No.
He didn't use taxpayer money.
I don't think he necessarily did anything wrong, but I just think it was indicative of his personality and the way...
Well, he's a guy who's very full of himself.
Yes.
Also
very full of his box, of his briefs.
I guess I didn't mind Anthony Weiner because I agreed with his politics. But yeah, he was obnoxious.
Yeah.
Well...
We'll see what happens.
Time will tell.
Mayor Weiner.
Mayor Weiner. It's a miracle he made it that far.
Well, we have a president named Barack Hussein Obama. So, in America, see, this is why you come here. In America, all things are possible.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. Under the Second Amendment, all things are possible.
I mean, we still got a bunch of stuff to get to here, but, like, how do they have, in Australia politics, do they have, like, the
government?
Same...
What's the question?
Well, we have, like, the political cycles that we have here. Like, it's relentless.
No, I mean, you know, it's four-year terms, and
Stephen Harper, your prime minister? That's Canada.
No, we have a female prime minister
now. And
she's
an atheist.
Oh, well, I've been out of the country for 5.5 years. I'm not really following it.
You have a female prime minister, and she's an atheist.
You should move to Australia.
But apparently, she's not doing too well. See, we vote for the party, and the party votes for the leader. So we had a different guy in, and then he got the boot. So no one actually voted Julia Gillard in; they voted the party in. And then the leadership changed. So you know,
Simpsons goes to Bart versus Australia.
Oh yes, someone's going to get the boot.
Yeah.
like we said, all his tweets are about Australian parliamentary politics.
Yeah, but let me tell you this. I'm living in the United States. But there's nothing united about it. You know, the rules are different in every single state. I can drive from Los Angeles to New York, and some places I can turn right on a red, and some places I can't. Some states I can screw a cow. Some states it's illegal to screw a cow. And I don't know the differences.
And believe
what is united about the United States, people?
Wow,
I'm banging the desk
harsh
down.
Words.
This is like you're like a modern-day de Tocqueville.
Sure.
Harsh words from a foreigner on a Will Sean podcast.
P.S. I'm a citizen. I
only by random luck.
Now, okay. Well, you know, in America, you know, but the one thing, you're right, everything is different here.
Mm.
And one of the things that is different here is in each area of the country, we have different cable systems.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of stuck with what you got, with your cable. On Long Island for years, I suffered under the iron fist of Cablevision, which was probably the worst cable company in the history of cable companies. I used to work for them. Time Warner Cable out here is who I have. And I mean, people are like, oh, you should get DirecTV. And I could put up a fight. Like, the apartment building's like, oh, we don't want you to have DirecTV. And I know if I fought them on it, I'd win. But then I'd, like, make enemies with the people who I pay my rent. I don't want to do that. I don't want to, you know. So I have Time Warner Cable. And everybody always complains about Time Warner Cable to me. They say, oh, Time Warner Cable. Oh, it's awful. It's awful. I've had nothing but great service. They've fixed things. They've given me money back when things have gone wrong. I've said, because the thing is, shit is going to get screwed up, and as long as you handle it well, I'm fine with it. Well, Time Warner did something, though, the other week that pissed me off. Really pissed me off. And I don't know. I might have to take back everything good I ever said about them. What's sometimes nice about living in Los Angeles is we get things earlier. We get, like I can watch Game of Thrones at 6 p.m. on HBO East, and then I got my whole evening free. Sporting events, too. I watched the Yankee game at 4 o'clock. And then it's over by, like, 7. And I could go out and get drunk and, you know, do things that I should be doing. And they would do this with Mad Men. There was the AMC HD feed was the East Coast feed. So I would watch Mad Men at 7 o'clock. And this has been all season. Mm-hmm. Watch Mad Men at 7 o'clock, and then I'd go out to Sardo's and drink. And Mad Men was so good for that because you would watch Don Draper drink and you'd be like, fucking A. And you'd go to Sardo's and you'd be drinking your whiskey and you'd be like, I'm fucking Don Draper. And you'd feel good about yourself. Well, not anymore. The other day, I'm flipping and checking my DVR and wouldn't you know it, I don't see Mad Men on to record. Well, what the fuck happened? So I go to the network and I see Mad Men's not on at 7. Instead, like, King Kong is on. I'm like, what is this? And I keep going, I keep going, I keep going. 10 o'clock. What's going on? Well, Time Warner Cable, in their infinite wisdom, decided we're not going to give the people of Los Angeles the East Coast feed of Mad Men, the convenient 3-hour early East Coast feed. They said, we're going to take it away from you. We're going to put it on at 10 o'clock. Because, and this is what pissed me off the most, they said, this is better and more convenient to the customer. But it's not, because it's 3 hours later. So don't give me your bullshit, Time Warner Cable. You fucked up and you haven't made this right like you made all the other things right. So you want to know what? That's why you, Time Warner Cable, are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself. This is ridiculous. Like, here's the thing. If I never had early Mad Men, I wouldn't care. But I had it, and they took it away from me. They took it away from me. And now, am I going to be able to watch the season finale like a normal human being at 7 o'clock? No. No. I got to be with all those lowly East Coast people. I have to watch it at 10 o'clock. But the thing is, they'll have seen it 3 hours before me. So now I got to avoid Twitter. I got to avoid everything. Breaking Bad is going to be the same problem. This is a serious issue, people, that they have done to us here.
You know, who is it hurting? Who is? Why did they do this? Who is it hurting if we watch it 3 hours early?
I think it has something to do with advertisers and the times they want their ads to air.
Also, I'm sure you get different East Coast ads from West Coast ads. But if you look at HBO, there are no ads. Why can't you get an HBO show?
Well, HBO you still can get.
Oh, it's just
Space
now.
AMC. But now, yeah. Oh. Don't fuck with my Game of Thrones and Boardwalk Empire and all the other shit I watch.
You know that hundreds of thousands of people a year get killed in Nigeria by child soldiers.
Having to watch Mad Men 3 hours later is admittedly the ultimate first world problem. But nevertheless, it's my problem and it's my world.
You could do what I do, which is
BitTorrent?
Get the episode through super illegal means.
Yes.
Mere minutes after it's completed airing on the East Coast.
Yeah, it'll be 2 hours early instead of 3
yeah.
hours early.
That's too complicated for me. You know, I'm a Luddite.
Yes, well, I feel your pain. I'm sorry. But
change is bad.
So can you get now DirecTV? Is this an option?
I'm summing it up in 3 words. Change is bad.
Change is awful.
Yeah.
Wait, but can
we
you
don't
get
like
DirecTV
change.
Now? Is this something you're going to reinvestigate?
I got to make a stink about it.
But do you even know that DirecTV airs them earlier?
Yeah.
They do, for a fact?
Yeah, I think I could get, like, the East Coast feeds of just about everything on DirecTV.
I mean, Time Warner is always in there. We're going to drop this channel because they haven't made it. And at the last second, they always relent and take
everything.
Well,
DirecTV also had their issues, though.
That happens with everyone. That's fucked up, too. Yeah. And I think the Dish Network was once the enemy of the podcast because poor people who had the Dish Network couldn't watch the last season of Breaking Bad.
That's
which
right.
Which is, honestly, that's the ultimate fuck. Like, that's what's bothering me. Because, you know, Mad Men, okay, I got 2 episodes left this season I could live with, but I know this is going to drive me crazy. One more episode left. I know this is going to drive me crazy when Breaking Bad comes back because that's my favorite show. And then I'm going to have to make hard decisions. Like, do I watch Breaking Bad at 9 and go to the bar an hour later? Or do I get drunk at 9 as the plan and watch Breaking Bad as I sober up in the morning? These are important life choices.
So when are you getting married and having kids?
I think you're just going to have to purchase the beer in advance and drink while you watch at home and then stumble to the bar and drink more.
This is getting very dangerous now.
What if maybe you can talk
and
to
actually,
Seymour?
And actually, drinking is just for Mad Men. Meth for Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
What if you talk to Seymour and maybe he can delay Sunday night karaoke and start it an hour later? So it actually starts at 10.
Or start dating a television critic who gets screeners in the mail early and then you're getting weeks in advance.
But do they always get screeners? Like, Mad Men doesn't send out screeners.
They'll definitely screen out the premiere.
Yeah, they get the first couple episodes.
And also, it's Emmy season now, so you know everything's coming
up. But Emmy's always looking back.
For the past season, that is true.
So great, I'll get the Breaking Bad DVDs after it's already ended. I'll stay in the night of the final episode to watch it live, obviously. But it's going to kill me again that all the assholes are going to be tweeting about it.
In this day and age, it's hard to shut down your computer on your telephone for 3 hours because you don't want to see
what
tweets
are you
and Facebook.
Sorry, hold on. I was just
sorry, checking. Sean's just on his phone right now.
So there's nothing that can be done, right?
Nah, unless you switch over.
Enough complaints could make someone higher up.
A lot of people have been complaining. There were articles written mostly because also people didn't know this was happening. Because
it screwed up all the DVR recordings.
It screwed up all the... You had to reprogram the thing. And I'm one of the few people who's anal enough to check every day that my DVR is actually programmed
If we have to touch more than two buttons, something is wrong. If we have to change...
You have to touch at least three.
At least three? No.
There goes your sex life.
There you go.
I want to end with this. I always like to end with a odd story. A high school girl is facing felony charges for a prank she pulled in her school's yearbook. I guess she was on the yearbook committee, so she had the power to do this.
I was
pranks.
Yearbook editor. I know what that's like. Close your head.
I was the editor-in-chief of the video yearbook.
What's a video?
Exactly. There was a girl whose last name was Mustaine, and she changed the girl's last name to Masturbate.
That's not even funny.
That's you changed a mistake.
Or Cumstain.
Yeah.
that would have been funnier. The reason she's facing felony charges is because of the costs to reprint all the yearbooks and stuff like that. I don't know if this should be a felony charge. Apparently, the student... said she was not really all that bothered by it. She was just slightly annoyed.
But now this girl's a felon and probably going to become a sex offender, too.
She
won't even be able to go to her own graduation because she'll be a sex offender not allowed near the school.
So this is really... Yeah, because masturbation was involved.
Yeah.
Really, America? This is what we're wasting our time on?
This is what's happening.
There are kids starving and people watching Mad Men late, and we're worried about a misprint
of a Brittany Cumstain.
Charge her $1,000 for reprinting the book and move on.
The other girl doesn't seem to care, but it got me thinking about, like, in high school in Australia, where they're like, we pull in lots of wacky pranks involving boomerangs
and dingoes.
You know, we used to have, there was official, I don't know if you have it in America, like prank day. The seniors could have a day of pranks.
You knew
the day was coming. So, you know, you'd bring a change of clothes because people would egg you. We did
our senior prank. I went to separate campuses. The boys, we all spent the night on the roof of the girls' school with tents, and we had grills and barbecues and propane, and we had eggs in the morning. We threw eggs at all the students as they were coming into the school.
We did a thing. We had a daily announcement sheet that used to come around, and we made a fake one and kidnapped the little boys who would, by little boys, I mean, you know, freshmen, who would deliver them. And we would replace it with the fake one. And then the teachers would read out these fake funny notes and, you know, ha ha, joke, joke, joke. No one got hurt. Ooh, the printing felony.
Stephen Brandon, you're adopted.
You know what? I remember there being a senior cut day. I remember senior prank day.
But I think it's probably outlawed. I mean, we used to wrap teachers' cars in cellophane so they couldn't get
in. When I was a freshman, the seniors, one of the teachers drove a little piece of shit, tiny, like, sad poor person's car. Mm. And about 12 seniors picked the car up and carried it to the other side of the parking lot.
We never had wacky pranks like this. We had, like horrible pranks. Like someone
like
called
pregnancy
in,
like, scares.
Well, someone called in a bomb threat once, which was great because I was like, well, I'm getting out of here.
That happened
home.
To our school all the time because our high school is right next to the Simon Wiesenthal Center, the Museum of Tolerance, the Holocaust Museum. At least once a month we get a bomb threat and they would just have to quietly evacuate the classrooms and go stand in the parking lot of the gas station until they made sure the building wasn't going to explode.
When we had the bomb threat, there was nothing quiet about it. They were like going crazy. We all got out of school. I did not leave the school, oddly enough, because I was sitting in the video room, as I always did. I wasn't worried about a bomb. But then I'm like, I should probably leave. I'll go home. And then the head of the art department saw me, and he goes, we got all this expensive video equipment. If the school blows up, I don't want it to go to waste. Let's take it out of here. So me and this teacher, we're taking expenses, and the police were like, why are you going back in the building?
I gotta save the DVRs.
Gotta get the double head, gotta get the two-tape VCR so we can dub things.
Another thing was, and this isn't a funny prank at all, this is a felony, but there was this girl in my senior class, Candace something with an M. I can't remember. Candace something.
Mustaine.
And Candace Mustaine. And they she had dated someone from another school and broke up with him. And overnight, I guess him and some other people showed up and spray painted at various locations, literally all around the outside of the school, the track, everywhere on the school property. It had to be 100 times. Candace Mustaine has AIDS. And this was all over the place. Now, I was the very first student to arrive there, because I would sometimes get there really early to do, like, video work and edit stuff, and because I had a key to the room. I was really trusted with a lot of expensive equipment. And I would get there early, and I got there, and I was like, what the fuck is this? I was, like, the first student to see it. And again, I ran into one of, like, the upper head of the school people, and he's like, this is not good. And
really?
I said, no. And he goes, we have to call this girl and tell her not to come in today. And I said, okay. And then he goes to me, and he goes, I'm getting the janitors to immediately start removing this, but we need evidence.
So you had to video record
it. He asked me to video record. So people are walking into school, and I'm videotaping this, and they're like, what is this for? Like, why did you do this? I'm like, I didn't do this.
He should have got you to grab some spray paint, gone around 100 times, and changed it to, you know, Candace has maids or something. Like, put something maids. Squeeze something in there. Oh, she's so pretty, she has maids at the house.
You know? Oh, she's a Richie.
Yes.
She's Richie one of those Rich. West Egg folk.
So... yeah, so those were the pranks that we had. Those were felonies. But this girl, I mean, she shouldn't have done it, and they do have to correct it, because no one's yearbook should say that their last name is Master, but I don't know if she should be, like, arrested.
No, pay the fine, pay for the reprinting, and...
your boot, and
then... You know, and then go to college and suffer the wrath of college.
Yeah.
There's much more miserable things in life waiting for you than a little bit of adolescent hijinks.
So, Steven... it's about that time.
Oh, yes. The replugging.
Oh, the replugging.
The
yes.
Replugging.
So let us know one more time.
If you want to catch my video shorts, www.candlelaughter.org. Read a script of mine at storyboardtv.com. And follow me on Twitter at StephenB29.
Nice. Sean, why don't you plug some stuff?
You can follow me at Twitter at TheSeanDavid. You can also... buy and read my book, Triumvirs, Triumvirs, Amazon Kindle. I don't have any readings scheduled, but I'm working on some new stuff, so I'll let you know when that happens. And Snapchat me, because it's fun.
Yeah.
Send me pictures of your junk.
He doesn't care. No. Hey, let me ask you this. You've been plugging Triumvirs for about a year and a half now. Any plans on writing a follow-up
I'm
that
working,
you can
I'm writing.
Plug in?
Triumvirent?
Virent, yes. Triumvirent. I am working on stuff. I'm working on a longer piece, actually. I hate using the word novel because it sounds douchey, but that's what it is. So that may take a few years, folks. So, you know, just kind of stick around.
You can follow me at The Real Will Link. I've been eyeing this crunchy and smelling it. I'm gonna take
another
bite.
I love honeycomb. I want some crunchy.
I'm going to take another bite.
There we go. This is happening, people.
You remind me on Twitter at The Real Will Link. Huh? You can also...
oh my god, this is good.
Listen to me every Tuesday on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I do reviews of movies that old people don't quite understand.
The movies or the reviews?
Both. And you can also read reviews of mine on the website U1Can. Can spelled like the city in France. One spelled like winning an award. And I actually have a terrific review. I'm calling the review terrific.
Your review is that it's terrific.
Yes, exactly. I have a review of a terrific movie, Wajada.
Yeah.
It's the first film ever directed by a Saudi Arabian woman in Saudi Arabia. She had to, like, direct it, like, from inside vans at point because, you know...
That her brother drove.
The review's up there. It's a great film. And the director actually had read the review and contacted me via Twitter, which is
she
very
You
want
to be
cool.
on the podcast?
Yeah, I should try to get her. It'd be a very politically oriented
And
episode.
You, Mohammed, are the enemy of the podcast.
I did briefly think, like, because I got retweeted by a lot of,
Squiggly script?
Yes, that okay. I couldn't quite understand. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And then I'm like, well, now I'm on NSA's radar. And maybe the NSA is listening to the podcast. Who knows?
We can only hope. What's going on, Mr. Snowden?
How
you doing, Prism?
I got some issues with the Snowden guy, too.
We can talk about him.
It's a little too much about him, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
This whole show is a little bit too much about how Snowden's going, oh, they're going
to
kill him.
He wants to be the next Assange.
Ugh. And things worked out.
You know,
for
we
Assange.
Need to talk at some point. I don't know. We got to put this on the list. Supervillains and superheroes in today's day and age. Got some theories.
I like it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about it on next week's show, where our guest will be Alex Stein. He's a returning champion. He's the first guest who came back, who requested to be back, and wasn't just in a last-minute fill-in. And he's got a terrific new book. I've been reading it. It's really smart, really funny. It's a collection of essays. It's called No, Mr. Bond, I Expect Your Dreams to Die. So we're going to have him on. I'm looking forward to having him back. And the week after that, we have a very funny stand-up comic, Zach Basita. Maybe I'm saying it right?
Maybe.
We'll find out.
We will.
So, thank you once again for coming all the way to Australia to do this podcast.
You're welcome. I gotta go take a Xanax and fly 14 hours home.
Excellent. Thank you for the candy. Thanks for the Taco Bell. Thanks for everything. So, for the Wilson...
Anytime, mate.
Anytime. Oh. Top of the morning to you. Wait, no.
No, that's English, you...
Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim cheree.
Oh. Oi.
You disgust me.
I was trying to think of an Invictus quote.
Struth.
For the Will Shot Podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.
We're finished.